Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Live and in living color. Inside Patriots Playbook on Patriots.com Radio. I'm John Rook. We welcome you to the Tuesday program, otherwise known as Nitpick Tuesday. There are a few nits to pick today if you haven't picked up on that. Yeah, I'd say that anytime you lose a football game, it's probably going to be a good time to figure on some serious second guessing and maybe some strategizing and, you know, regrouping, recouping, whatever you want to say. But today would be that day. However, it seems to me that, I don't know, is it just me or last couple of years, when we get down to this point in the season, when there's only 2 weeks now left in the regular season, it seems to me that, I don't know, maybe I'm just not remembering correctly. Maybe somebody can help me out here, but it seems to me like we've had more nitpicking going on late in the year this year than in previous years. Last couple of years, you expect the Patriots to be where they were. You expected them to be title contenders. And when you get to this kind of time of season, you kind of know who you are. You kind of know what kind of team that you have. And because you know what kind of team you have, there's less to really nitpick about. And you start trying to refine as opposed to improve. And I think there's a difference. It's like, you know you have a gem and you're trying to bring out the shine in that gem. So you're polishing rather than chipping away at it to make it more of a gem. I hope you follow the analogy, because I just came up with that one on the top of my head. So I hope it works for you. But do you understand where I'm going here? See, the Patriots are still chipping away at that rough outer exterior. We really don't know. Through 15 weeks, we really don't know what we have here. Because I would tell you that if we did know what we have, nobody would like it, and you'd be scared to death of it. I still don't believe we really know what we have. What we have is an injury-ravaged team. Well, guess what? Who the hell isn't like that in the NFL? Especially, contending teams. Who hasn't been touched by injuries? The answer to that is, well, everybody's been touched by injuries. That's just the nature of the beast in the NFL. So I don't know that you can use that so much as an excuse, as a reason for where you are. And I think that certainly injuries do come into play, especially when it happens to key personnel. I mean, you lose your starting quarterback. Okay, you're going to understand you're not going to be as good as you thought you were. Even if that's your only injury, you lose your starting quarterback, you're not going to be as good as you thought you'd be. The Patriots have lost Rob Gronkowski, who arguably and maybe even inarguably is their top offensive weapon. They've lost Vince Wilfork, who we said here on this program earlier this year, to me, outside of Tom Brady, was the most valuable player on this Patriots franchise. I see no reason to back off from that statement now, especially now that we haven't had Vince for a number of weeks. But I think you can see, in terms of what he meant to the defense, how badly he's missed. So you've lost Wilfork, you've lost Mayo, you've lost Kelly. I mean, that's the heart of your defense. Right up the middle. And yeah, and for several weeks, you don't have Aqib Talib either, even though he's back. So you could make an argument, I suppose, that the Patriots are probably right up there, certainly with any other contending team, over the important injuries that they have had. This is what they have to deal with. But it's the little things now that, honestly, I know that they have to spend some time thinking about this. I know that they have to consider this, because when they don't have certain players that they can count on, the game plan automatically has to adjust. Or has it? I think that's the one thing that I'm really having the tough time with today. It doesn't seem to me like they're adjusting enough to benefit or to supplement or to support, throw in whatever adjective you want here, the talent that they actually have left on the field. I'm really puzzled by Josh McDaniels' play calling. And as you heard me tell the boys just a few moments ago, unless you're just tuning in for the first time here, my chief nitpick basically has to do with the play calling, or the lack thereof of creative play calling. I'm still wondering why on third and two they're throwing the ball when you have, a guy like, LeGarrette Blount, who, was pounding away at the middle like few other times that he's really had an opportunity this year. He was running the ball well against Miami. And I'm still wondering why on third and shorts you're throwing the ball. I don't get it. I think you'd want to put your team in the best possible position. Maybe they saw something that they liked. I don't know. All I know is, and I just had a tweeter point out to me as well, whose play calling is terrible? Brady alerted and checked out on at least three out of every four plays. I can't say that that's, I kind of noticed that myself. So if he's actually, I don't know if it's actually three out of four. That may have been an exaggeration by the tweeter. But all I'm saying is that if that was the case and he did check out of a number of plays, then there's a reason why he checked out of them. Play called, comes into the game, Tom sees something, doesn't think play's going to work, thinks that maybe the offense is better served by checking out of the play call, running something else. They did a pretty good job running the football. My guess is that I'm going to say a majority of those runs were probably pass plays that were checked out of. Again, that's just off the top of my head without really going back and looking at the film. There's a disconnect between what this team is and what this team thinks it is. Does that make sense? This team thinks it's a championship contender. This team is a team that's hanging by the skin of its teeth. You got 2 weeks left in the regular season. You've clinched nothing. You have not yet clinched a playoff spot. You need either one more Patriot win or one more Miami loss to clinch a playoff spot and or the AFC East title. That's what you need. Because if the Patriots lose two and the Dolphins win their last two, the Patriots are not division champions. Miami has the tiebreaker for a better divisional record. If the Patriots lose to Buffalo, they would be 3-3 in the division. Miami would be 4-2. It's all over. And if the Patriots lose to Baltimore, there goes the last wild card spot because they're not going to have a better record than Kansas City. So you lose your last two games, you're not going to be in the playoffs. That's just it. Unless, this game this weekend to me is everything. This game this week is everything. And right now, as of today, and I'm going to withhold my right to change my opinion. Right now, as of Tuesday at 2:18 Eastern Time PM, I do not think the Patriots will win this game on Sunday against Baltimore. I don't think they will. Now, who among you disagrees? I'd be curious to hear from you today. It's a little early in the process. This is not necessarily Prediction Thursday, but what it is just to me, I think we've got to be honest with each other here, and I'm going to try to be as honest with you as I possibly can. Based on my observations, I really don't like the way this team has set itself up. I know that it's been banged up. I know that, you need to have hope, and everybody has hope. I still have hope. I still hope that this team will take care of business and win one of the last two to get into the playoffs. Because it is all about being in the dance. Whether you have a bye or not, it's all about being in the dance. It's all about being in the tournament. All you need is a shot. I totally agree with that assessment. Totally agree with that. Let's just get there. But getting there is still going to be a struggle, I think, with this team. Tom Brady said himself in the aftermath of the game, in and around the 55-second postgame interviews that also include profanity, which was very un-Brady-like, but I think we can forgive it to a certain extent simply because, we like to see fire and brimstone in our athletes and into our guys, into our players, regardless of the fact that they're put up on a pedestal by a lot of people and probably should be thinking better of themselves and of the people who actually pay attention to every word that they say. But okay, he doesn't usually do that, so I think we can kind of brush that off as an exception to the rule. But Brady did also say that, you know, the Patriots' margin for error, and he said this on WEEI yesterday, Patriots' margin for error, and I'm paraphrasing here, but the margin for error is very slim. They know that they really do not have the team. He knows. The players know. I'm not convinced that the coaches know. But the players know that this team is different. And because of that, he knows that the margin for error is very slim. And because he's the quarterback and he's the one that's got to make the play calls and he's the one that's got to get the job done, you know, you've got to have everybody on the same page. And I don't believe Tom thinks that everybody is on the same page. This has nothing really to do with Gronk being hurt or anything else. I don't get the impression that all 53 guys are pulling together with the coaching staff. I just don't get that impression. This is a feeling that I've had, I think, largely from the midway point of the season. I'm kind of bringing this out now just because of the way that I see this team play. And I said, maybe there's just something to the gut instinct that I've had all along about this team. This is a sort of a star-crossed New England Patriot team in 2013. And by that, I mean, we know that they have talent. They certainly have talent. But for whatever reason, the talent just has either A, been hurt, or B, just has not come together as we thought it would be. And that's where the coaching staff comes in, gang. It's up to the coaches to bring the best out of the talent that they bring in, whether they draft it or they sign it or what have you, or pull it in from another source. It's still up to the coaches to put their players in the position to maximize the talent. I don't know that the Patriots have done that. And one of the things that is most obvious to me that they haven't done that is by benching a guy Stephen Ridley because he fumbles. I think that that was one of the silliest, just nonsensical things. It was junior high-like. And I just don't think that, this is the professional ranks here, okay? Really, we're going to sit your best back down because he fumbled the ball? Really? We're going to do that? I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I thought that reminded me of my junior high school coach. Coach Bogus. That's the guy's name. Bogus. Can you believe that? McLean Junior High, Fort Worth, Texas. Coach Bogus. Yep. I kid you not. That is a Coach Bogus move. Son, you can't hold on the football. Got to sit you down. Can't play you. Can't hold on the football. Well, okay. I was in sixth grade. Couldn't hold on to the football. I knew I was going to sit. That was sixth grade. But if I'm the best back on the team, which I wasn't, but if I'm the best back on the team, I'm playing. And I know I'm playing because there's nobody better than me. That's Shane Vereen to this team. I mean that's Stephen Ridley to this team. Stephen Ridley. Overall, he's the best running back this team has. And again, that's just one example. I'm sure you can come up with others, and that's part of what we want to do here today, you know, on Nitpick Tuesday. I'm picking the nits. I'm ready to go. I really have my doubts now that this team for the first time is going to reach the playoffs. I didn't have this doubt until this last week. And yes, as you'll recall, I did pick the Patriots to lose this last Sunday. I said 27-23. So I was right there within a field goal for each team. 4-point game by Miami. That's what I had, and that's ended up what happening. I won't pat myself on the back too hard. But I, 11-3 against the spread this year. So all I can tell you is that I kind of see these things coming. Maybe I'm locked in. Hey, shame on me for not, taking some of this to the bank and helping out the mortgage, But I don't do that anyway. It's for fun and entertainment purposes only, because I know if I actually put real cash down, I'd be 0-13 or 0-14. So that's just the way it usually works with me. I would tell you that, for the first time all season long, I thought that this team would, I started out with 10-6, and then I improved to 11-5 when we did the do-over about midway through the year. Even Eric improved to 10-6 from a 9-7 prediction that he had before the year started. This team is 10-4. So it looks like I've got a reasonable chance to hit my number of 11-5. That's, you know, with any luck, that's where the Patriots will be. And that way they'll squeeze into the playoffs as the AFC East champion, but it could be as a 3 or a 4, not as a 2. They need to win these both of these games to get in as a 2, and I think everybody understands that. Win this or lose this game, then you've got to play Buffalo to your best, because it's the only way you're getting into the playoffs. And oh, by the way, you've already blown your chance at a wild card, at a bye, so you have no week off. That's basically what happens here. So you got to win this week to get the week off. Lose this week, you got to win the next week to win the division. But when you win the division, you're not going to get the bye. Cincinnati's still going to hold that tiebreaker. And hey, Cincinnati might not even win their division. Baltimore could win the division. Baltimore's in the driver's seat now in the North. Baltimore wins out. They're 10-6. They beat New England and Cincinnati. Guess who the division champ is? Baltimore. Guess who falls into the wild card? Cincinnati. Guess who falls out of the playoffs? New England. That's how the dominoes could go. That's how they could fall. That's how they could go. So you can understand why I'm a little apprehensive right now. I hate to be doom and gloom on a Tuesday. I don't like being doom and gloom on Tuesdays. It's all I got today. This is all I got. Convince me. Convince me otherwise. Can you? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com. Toll free telephone number 855-PATS-500. 855-PATS-500. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. And yes, you can get me on social media. Twitter is @JRBroadcaster. And thank you very much. I hit 2K finally. Shocked. About time, too. But thank you for the support. I appreciate that. John.Rook, R-O-O-K-E is the spelling of the last name. Find me on Facebook as well, and we can share some ideas, as I had a bunch of people do in the aftermath of the game on Sunday. Oh, man. I had one thing that I put out there. I actually put a it was a Deadspin article on Brady's 55-second postgame following the game against Miami on Sunday, and he said, we ran bleepy plays. I think you all understand what I mean when I say bleepy. And I think we had, 60 or 70 comments to that one post that I put on my Facebook page? Only because I took offense to him using the word bleepy? What, we have to dumb ourselves down now to everybody? Why can't we rise above this? Why do we have to use foul language? I mean, I understand he's frustrated. Yeah, I know. Go bleep yourself, San Diego. That kind of thing, you know? I totally get that.
Go f*** yourself, San Diego.
I get that. But I'm sorry. I mean, that was very out of character for him. Like I said earlier when I got started here this afternoon, I think that we can all excuse, especially a one-time occurrence, because he's not usually like that. Tom usually has better comportment than that.
I think he's full of s***.
Yeah, well, that too. But, you know, when your quarterback starts to lose his cool, that's not a good sign. And I thought he kind of lost it a little bit in the postgame discussion. I'm willing to give some latitude here. I understand that things are said in the heat of battle. I understand things are said out of disappointment and probably out of disgust, you know, and unhappiness with oneself. But you got to understand, you're up on the pedestal and you make the kind of money you do for a reason. And maybe you didn't ask to be put on that pedestal, and I'm sure he didn't. But there are a lot of people who look up to TB12, a lot of them a lot younger than me. I think you know where I'm going with this. And, you know, that's just a byproduct of having the job that you have. And, yeah, it's a hell of a burden to have to live up to it. And you can also make the case that it's an unfair burden to live up to it. I just think that, you know, I expect more out of our athletes. I expect more. I expect more out of the Patriots organization. I expect more. And I think that's part of the reason why this organization has been as successful as it has been for as long as it has. Because we've all expected more. And yeah, you can certainly slight that too, because sometimes we get spoiled. How many times on this program have we talked about being spoiled as fans? because we are. But through 13, 14 years, this is an unprecedented run of success. And it's still, the painful part about it is, this year could still be successful, in spite of all of the difficulties. But I don't see it. All right, so your nitpicks. That's number one. Your problems, your thoughts, your comments, your commentaries, your criticisms from the game against the Miami Dolphins on Sunday. That's number one. Number two, talk me down out of the tree. Tell me why this Patriot team will make the playoffs, because right now I'm not seeing it. Yeah, and that also includes Buffalo. I think they'll limp in. I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I think that they'll figure out a way to limp in, but it isn't going to be easy. And then, you know, the week that you should use to let guys rest, you're not going to be able to let anybody rest because you're going to need the win to get into the playoffs. So you can eliminate the rest question right now, unless, of course, you beat Baltimore this next Sunday afternoon. So talk me down out of the tree. That's what I'm hoping you can do. Tell me why this Patriots team is still going to make the playoffs. Tell me why this Patriots team can still do damage in these playoffs. Number three, I was listening to a little bit of NBC Sports Radio this morning, saw an item on ProFootballTalk.com as well, and I thought that's a great topic for our show, so I'm stealing it. I'm lifting it. I'm being very upfront with you about this. Kev, I thought this was an outstanding idea, and I think this is one of the things that we should talk about today. If we're going to have our own Patriots.com radio Christmas party in theory here. So if you're going to be coming to the Patriots.com Christmas party, all right, knowing that it'll be me, it'll be the PFW guys, it'll be Kevin, who else is going to be at the Patriots.com Christmas party? Patriots.com radio Christmas party.
Todd and Bill, maybe?
Todd and Bill are welcome to come to the Patriots.com
Bertrand.
Radio. Mark Bertrand, because of the, because the postgame show, yes. And the pregame social, yes.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Okay. So now you know who the cast of characters will be at the Patriots.com radio Christmas party. I want you to tell me what three things you're going to bring to the Patriots.com radio Christmas party. Your favorite beverage.
It's a great idea.
Your favorite beverage, number one. Your favorite snack, because we all know that, you know, the PFW guys can't afford them, so you got to bring snacks for them. So your favorite snack. Okay? Your favorite snack. And your favorite music CD. What's the music going to be at the party?
Speaking of snacks, we got to thank Mary for Mary, our great snack.
Mary, the bark came. Yes, it did. Thank you very much, Mary.
And your cards meant a lot too, Mary.
Yes.
Thank you very much for taking the time to remember us on Christmas.
We really, really appreciate that. And what I like more about it, Kev, is it's addressed to John Rook, One Patriot Place, Foxborough, Mass. Like they know who the hell I am.
There you go. It's funny you mentioned that because I got a call up from the mailroom. Said, "Who the hell's John Rook?" I said,
yeah.
I think he works here.
Yeah, he's worked here for 21 years.
I think he's some guy that we keep in a closet downstairs.
Yeah,
somewhere.
Exactly.
And I said, "Why? Well, you know what? You keep it up there. I'll come up and get it for him." So I got it yesterday.
There's only one person that's been here longer than Rook, and his name is Dante Scarnecchia. That's it. That's
my good
it.
Friend, my good friend Janet up in the mailroom calls me.
Who's John?
Do you
Rook?
Know a John Rook?
Said,
matter of fact, I do.
Perfect. Gotta love that. See? Don't get no respect. Gotta pull out my best Rodney Dangerfield now. All right, so there you go. Patriots.com radio Christmas party. You're bringing three things with you. Your favorite beverage, your favorite snack, and your favorite music CD. What is it? What music are we going to be playing at this raucous occasion right here at Gillette Stadium? I've given you a lot of things to think about in the program, okay? Lots of stuff to go with. So web radio at patriots.com. 855-PATS-500, at JR Broadcaster, John.Rook on Facebook. Okay, lots to think about, right? Kev, should we break? Let's break. Ready, set, and go.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime, message, and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Have a nitpick about this week's game?
Yeah, I was at the game.
Well, John does too.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
It's Nitpick Tuesday on Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio.
Lots of things to talk about on Nitpick Tuesday here on Patriots.com Radio. Patriots Playbook, I'm John Rook. You know, many of you are probably aware that I do have a son who is away at school.
Right here, John.
Not you. Although you could be. You're young enough to be my son, that's for sure. Although I think the fact that you're follically challenged
I don't have the good rook genes.
No, it belies your age, I think so. I mean, Kevin's what, 28 years old? He looks like he's about 38.
Well, you really went bald there, didn't you?
Yeah, I know. But my son, Austin, is a freshman at Marquette University. For some ungodly reason, he's decided to try his hand and maybe, you know, someday get into this business that I have struggled with mightily my entire life. He actually hosts a talk show on Saturdays on WMUR Radio and MarquetteRadio.org called Sports Smack with a buddy of his who, by the way, happens to be from Boston. So what could be worse in the Midwest, really? What could be worse in the Midwest than listen to a couple of Boston wonks talk about the Red Sox and the Patriots? Oh, my God. Hi, Austin. How's it going?
Oh, hey. How's it going?
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I told you that you could come in today, you know, and participate in our poll questions today, number one. And number two, tell us a little bit about your show, because I know that, you know, you need some followers, and I know you want to beef up your Twitter account as well, because it's taken me all of 2 years now to get my account up to 2,000. So you need a little help yourself.
Yeah, our Twitter account's lacking. I think it's got about 20 followers right now. It's got to improve.
Well, let them know what the address is.
@sports_smack.
That's easy.
Yeah.
@sports_smack.
Easy to find. It's run by my co-host, Sean. Like you said, he's from the Boston area. And it's a show on Saturdays. It's 12 to 1:30 Central, so it'll be 1 to 2:30 Eastern time. We talk about absolutely everything. We haven't had a show in a while due to Marquette sporting event conflicts and such. It's tough being early afternoon on a Saturday.
Sure.
And a lot of women's basketball games are, and some men's games as well. So,
right.
But we talk about everything. We talk about, I mean, not just Marquette stuff. We talk about,
you guys
NFL.
Do a segment like on NFL and in baseball too. And
oh yeah, we do yeah. NFL picks. I don't think we will do that again, maybe for the playoffs, but that might be the next chance we get to do our show. Mm-hmm. Since I don't go back to school until January 12th, I think it is.
You're going to be home for a month?
Yeah.
Crap, there goes the fridge.
Yeah. I'm going to clean that out.
Yeah. I would expect nothing less. You want people on your personal Twitter account too?
Yeah, my personal Twitter account, @arook2. I tweet about a lot of sports stuff and a lot of other stuff too, but it's getting more sports
oriented. Mostly you harangue on the Longhorns. On your A-Rook 2 account.
Yeah. You can say that. Not sure.
Who's Texas going to get to replace Mac?
I don't know. I'm hearing a lot about this James Franklin guy from Vanderbilt. I mean, I heard if he's gotten 8 wins in his last 2 years at Vanderbilt, and being in the SEC and getting 8 overall wins is pretty impressive, being in a school like Vanderbilt, which has been bad in the SEC for a long time. And you can imagine what James Franklin could do with the Texas-sized talent. So that'd be interesting.
I'm of the opinion, however, though, that, you know, unless you've done it at a large school where the expectations are that you should do it.
He deserves a shot.
Listen, if you're Texas, you don't give people a shot just because he deserves it. You have to prove it. That's just me. Now, he ultimately may get the job. I'm not saying he'd be a bad choice. I think you happen to be right. You win 8 games back-to-back at Vanderbilt in the SEC, you're probably a pretty good coach, right? I just would be looking for someone I think that might have a little bit more, you know, something behind it. Track record.
The problem is you're not going to, it's going to be tough to get that kind of guy.
They're waving $10 million maxed to somebody.
But, I mean, this is also talking about this. These guys have signed extensions like Kevin Sumlin at A&M. Gus Malzahn just signed something with Auburn. Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. I mean, and Art Briles at Baylor, the guy that I think both of us want Texas to go and get because he knows the state so well and knows the high school coaches. He's the ideal candidate, but you think that he's really going to leave his situation and his money that he's getting, this new money that he's getting from Baylor.
They just built a new stadium for the guy.
Yeah.
They just built a brand new stadium at Baylor that'll be open for next year for the first time. So, yeah, I don't see that happening. But money talks. Money talks. And Texas has more money than any other. No.
They have no boundaries when it comes to money.
Nobody has anything over Texas when it comes to money.
Texas is college football's equivalent of the Dodgers and the Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah, that's absolutely correct. All right, so you want to play the game? The questions that I threw out before the break, before we take the phone calls and
absolutely.
All that stuff? Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, the nitpicks. First of all, the nitpicks about Sunday's game. If you have a nitpick, what's sticking in your craw about the Patriots and the way they played or didn't play on Sunday?
I really don't like the play of Aqib Talib in the slot. I really don't. I noticed that. I thought it was interesting. I know you're putting him on their best player, Charles Clay, mm-hmm. and he only had, I think, like one catch in the game.
One catch.
But I think Talib's more suited for a guy on the outside, like a guy like Mike Wallace, who
did end up burning him.
Yeah, exactly. On that long touchdown at the end of the half, which can't happen. And I mean,
but it did.
If there's any running nitpick here, it's the fact that I don't think anybody in the secondary can tackle. None of them can. I think it's just the coaching staff. Do they not teach them in practice how to tackle? You'd think that these guys are on an NFL team. You'd think that they could tackle a little bit, but they can't.
Okay. That's absolutely a fair nitpick. It's something that we've talked about all year, the play in the secondary. And actually, yes, tackling has not been.
And I think Aqib Talib's more suited for a guy on the outside. If you're covering Mike Wallace, if he covers him the whole game, he might not burn you for that touchdown. He might not. Hartline might not gash you for those yards in the late stages of the game on all those intermediate throws.
I would ask a question. Did you notice Aqib Talib much at all on the game Sunday? I think most people would say no, and there's a reason why. Because he was trying to shadow, if not cover, Charles Clay, which kept him over the middle of the field and off the ends where the action was happening.
If Charles Clay was catching balls all game, you would have seen.
Yeah.
Keep to leave.
Yeah. So, all right, that's a good nitpick. Now, as far as what was question number two? What did I have the question? What was the second one?
The game. The
oh yeah.
These
the what?
The game you talked about. Old age is getting to you?
The Christmas party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Christmas party. Thank you.
He forgot to attend his own Christmas party.
I didn't get the invitation.
That's
bad.
It's
the Patriots.com radio Christmas party.
I may not have hair, but at least I have a brain.
Yeah, I know. I feel, oh, my goodness, that's just really bad. That's just really bad. Well, hey, at least I can laugh about it. Pass the drool bucket, please. All right. You got to bring three things to the Patriots.com Christmas party, radio Christmas party. Number one, you got to bring
your favorite beverage.
Your favorite beverage, which would be?
A nice cold glass of Coca-Cola.
Okay. I don't know whether to laugh or cry at that one, but okay. The next one would be snack.
Well, I could say something else. That just might disappoint you.
Well,
is there anything in the Coca-Cola?
Is there anything in the Coca-Cola?
Yeah. That's a fair question.
Okay.
I know that trick. I was his age, too.
Yeah, of course you were. Snack.
Can't go wrong with chocolate chip cookies.
Chocolate chip cookies. All right. Sounds like a typically boring Christmas party. I hope now that it gets better by your choice of music CD.
Gotta stay Boston. Dropkick Murphy's Warriors Code.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. Dropkick Murphy's Warriors Code. All right. Okay. You redeemed yourself a little bit right at the end on that one.
But what would you rather me have said?
Let's see if it were. Well, you know, I'm going to save my response for a little bit later, just so I can encourage others to, you know, contribute to the program here.
Fair enough.
But let's just say that I don't think we would have agreed on any of the three choices.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. That's fair.
Okay.
I'm interested to see what you're going to bring.
You are your mother's son. That's all I can tell you.
That's true.
At least he admits that. Uh-oh.
This is the Warriors.
Yeah, there you go. So this is the kind of music you're going to have with Coke and chocolate chip cookies. Oh, boy. Woohoo!
This must be just party time. Marquette, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Got to see if he, you know, see if you can find the Marquette fight song. Let's see if he knows the words to it.
Oh.
See if you, yeah, yeah.
You're going to make me sing the fight song.
Yep. Because I don't think you know it. I don't think you know it yet. You've been taught the eyes of Texas and Texas fight your whole life.
Does it need to have the words in it or out of it?
Out of it.
Can you find a music only version? I don't know if it exists.
I don't think the words would, if people singing it would exist, but well, maybe.
All right. Let's get to the phones and find some others. Thank you, and we'll let Kevin work on that one. Dave in Connecticut, you're up first here inside the playbook. Hello, Dave.
Hey, John. How you doing today?
Good, man. What's up?
I definitely agree with what you're saying about the play calling. I mean, the balance is so ridiculous. Brady threw the ball, what, 55 times?
Yes.
You know, both Blunt and Ridley were running well. And, you know, we have to have balance. I agree what you're saying here. The one good thing and that we can take away from this weekend, we are still the number two seed. Thank you, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's true. Right now you are, but you have to win in order to keep it.
Oh, absolutely. And I think this Baltimore game, it's a playoff game. You have to look at it as a playoff game.
I would agree with that.
Okay, and same thing with Buffalo. We need to win both games. Okay, because, you're talking earlier, what this team is. To be honest with you, I don't know if we're running. You know, I agree with you 100%. We don't really have an identity that we used to have, in the past years. But I will say the one thing about this team that I don't think they're ever going to quit. They're going to fight you to the last second on the clock, and I will give them that. Like I said, my nitpick is definitely Josh McDaniels with the play calling, all right? And on defense, I know he's gotten killed all season long. Hightower, he cannot cover anybody. Now, I don't mean to just reference this. He's 270 pounds. He can't run. Why don't they take him and maybe use him as a DN, a rush linebacker?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not willing to give up on the kid yet, and just release him, or I still think he has some talent. I mean, I remember his rookie year. The first play from scrimmage was, Chandler Jones script and Hightower recovering in the end zone. I forget who. I think it was against the Texans, or the Titans, rather.
Mm-hmm.
And, that was their first defensive series as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
I think he hasn't really lived up to that to this point. He's been injured, and, whatever excuse he can make, the sophomore slump. But he cannot cover. And you're seeing him putting these positions, and it's sad. Because he can't run. He's just too big.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's the coaching staff as well.
Okay. All right.
I mean, they're not using it. They're not using him right.
Right.
They really, as far as I'm concerned, they're really not using him right. I know when he, when the draft was there, Belichick went back to get him because, he's a proto, he was like labeled a prototypical Pittsburgh Steeler linebacker.
Right, right, right.
And a couple teams, were interested in him. So, Belichick grabbed him.
Okay.
Now you got to use him right.
All right. So overall then, Dave, you feel like the play calling is still your top nitpick here. What else did you come up with from?
Absolutely. I think, we should be running the ball more. I don't know what I really don't have the yardage in front of me, but it seemed watching the game that Blunt was, on average, he was ripping 5 yards a carry. Same thing when Ridley was in the game. He was on average, I'd say, the both of them have to be around the five yard per carry in, for that game. And what they have between them, maybe 20 carries?
Yeah. Yeah.
If that.
I just thought they gave up on, I thought they gave up on it too early. And I know that, I also know that, there were some occasions where Brady did check out of play calls that came in from the sideline. And I just, there's just, as I said earlier, there's a disconnect somewhere between the calls that are coming in from the sideline and what Brady sees out there on the field. Somebody is not on the, somebody is not on the other person's page. And I'm not going to say which person it is, but there's just, there's a page turned here that neither party is a part of. And I think that, you know, we saw it a little bit more evident now, than we've seen maybe even in recent memories. And let me also add this right here. Brady did say yesterday, you know, here on Patriots Monday, he did say that, you know, the margin for error is razor thin, and I'm paraphrasing here. And Chris Gasper did a nice job today in the Boston Globe, basically pointing out the margin of error, how thin it really is. The Patriots' average margin of victory is 7.6 points per game. That's the second lowest amongst teams in the league with a winning record. The lowest is actually Miami, 7.1. Patriots, however, are 6-1 in games decided by 3 points or fewer. Problem was, this was a 4-point game. And the only team that has played more than two games and has a higher winning percentage is Green Bay. They're 3-0-1 in games decided by 3 points or fewer. So the Patriots have a penchant for playing close. The reason that they're playing close is that they don't have enough playmakers to be able to bring the point margin out further. They've lost them with an injury or they've lost them through being, you know, idiots and being, you know, illegal and killing people allegedly. And I mean, they've lost them for all different ways this year. So I, you know, this team is what it is. It just seems to me that what we're seeing on the field is not what the coaching staff feels of this team. They're expecting this team to be the same team, at least in my estimation, to be the same team that they thought they had earlier in the year when it's not the same team. And no, I think that's part of the, I think that's part of the problem.
100%. And I'll even break it down to, you know, talking about razor. I think there's zero room for any errors here because you said it yourself, two losses and they're out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, like, we all can, you know, we're the number two seed. Okay, so that means we have the first week bye, we host one game at home, and then maybe go to Denver for the AFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now I would much rather see them as the number, the way this team is right now with the injuries and as we all know how they're playing, as the number two seed, than and having them, you know, possibly sneak in as the number three or four seed. Because I think it's going to be one and done if they have to play in a wild card game and then go.
It could be. It could also, Dave, it could also be the same thing if they get the bye and somehow win these two games and get the two seed.
But I think you'd agree. You would like. I think you would like their chances better at home. You know, with that one game.
Right. Right.
I think we'd have to agree.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about the disconnect. You know, I'll just go back, like, maybe it was, like, 3 weeks ago when everyone was really killing Hightower. I mean, you know, because just his play and
well, from what I saw this last week, Dave, he kind of deserved it because he looked lost out there against anything other than a running back. He was lost.
No, absolutely. And the thing was, though, in Belichick's press conference, he kind of praised Hightower to a certain point. And you guys were like, you know, maybe coach is seeing something different than we're seeing in his
play. I agree. I think, and this has been a problem. This is why, you know, you try to ask Bill Belichick these questions and you get stared down at like you're a complete idiot. And I mean, we can only observe the same game that he is. Now, granted, maybe we don't study as much film as he does, but I know what my eyes see and I know what my eyes tell me. My eyes tell me that he's getting beat.
Oh yeah, he's getting beat like a mule. It's not funny anymore.
All right, Dave, I got a bunch of other people that want to get on the program here. So help me out with the Patriots.com radio Christmas party. What's your favorite beverage you're bringing?
First of all, am I invited?
Yes, you are. All of our callers are invited.
All right, you know what? The real good wintry drink, Captain Morgan Spice Rum and Ginger Ale.
Oh, sweet. Bang. Oh, yeah. Oh, that works.
Okay.
Okay, I'm with you. Yes, as a snack,
as
yes.
Appetizer?
Yes.
Scallop wrapped with bacon.
Ooh, okay. All right, you're definitely going high class here. What about the music CD?
You know what, like when my favorite Christmas music CD is Dominic the Donkey. Just make you laugh.
I love it. All right, we may have to ring up a little Dominic the Donkey before the program's over. Dave, you're a good man. You're a good man. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Let's go to Andrew in Buffalo. Andrew, you're up next in the playbook.
Hey, God.
Good, Andrew.
Yeah, real frustrating week. Yeah, I got the score prediction right, but I didn't get the right team, so that was a little bit
different. Yeah, right.
And they didn't show the game on TV, and I had a hard time getting the play-by-play. I was telling PFW earlier. That's why it was a bit confusing to me what was really going on, because I had it on the NFL Network. You know, they're showing the score up there. And I didn't know special teams was a real big issue. When I found out, that pretty much put everything together for me as to what actually went down with missing the field goal, kicking the ball out of bounds. The special teams is my nitpick. The defense is my nitpick. The offense, the coaching staff, everybody.
Ooh.
Everybody's manhood needs to be questioned right now. Everyone's manhood needs to be questioned.
Yeah.
That Robert Kraft needs to come down there and have a talk with all of them individually, like for real. It's just ridiculous. This is a game you need in order to get the division. That way you wouldn't be put through this sort of thing. Because Baltimore right now, I think I was telling y'all last week, they scare me. You know, they really do. Like, they have a great defense. Apparently it's better than it was last year. Joe Flacco's starting to reach his stride now, and he's making really good throws. And if Ray Rice get 100 yards against us next week, you would know that there is a problem because he hasn't gotten going all year.
Mm-hmm.
So if he is able to turn it on us in Baltimore, that pretty much shows where we are as a team. And I just feel like right now play calling is questionable. Guys on defense, McCourty, I feel like he was nowhere to be found. Hightower always getting beat. And like I said before, back in that Pittsburgh game, having the best coverage I've seen pretty much in, you know, that he have all, had all, his whole 2 years, he didn't have it knowledge enough to get his head on the ball, like letting the ball hit his helmet. It just beats the weapon again. He's so used to getting beat, trailing his defender, you know, not being in the right position. And I don't think that was a blown call. I think that was man-to-man coverage, and they left him by himself. And that, you can't do that in that situation.
Right.
Not in the red zone against him. Teams know how to key on him.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like Steven really should have got the ball a little bit more. I don't know how many carries he had, but Blunt, I guess, had more carries than him because he was the one that was up on the stack. That's just really bad play calling. And it just seems, I mean, we the fans, you know, we are a little spoiled. Just like you said, we're so used to perfection and blowing teams out, getting the playoffs, being favored. And I just saw by, you know, so many of these losses that, and what we had these games that we're finding a way to be in these dogfights and come away with the win. But apparently, it can hurt us too. And that's the real issue. It's going to be an issue if we do get in the playoffs. But
Blunt had 11 carries, 47 yards on the ground.
11 carries, 47. Okay. And Blunt had, like, a little more carries, right? He had more carries than him.
Yeah, Ridley had 8 carries, and Vereen only had 2 carries.
Right, yeah. Bad coaching. What I was going to say. I just feel like, you know, being at the 2-seed, it's just so funny how you can be at the 2-seed, and if you lose this game, you can mess around and be at the 6-seed, and if you don't beat Buffalo, you're out.
That's right. You're gonna drop all the way out. That's correct. I mean, the NFL, we know, the NFL loves this, Andrew, because they love the parody. They love the mystery. They love the intrigue. They love all of this. They love the fact that it's not decided, because this is what's going to keep people in tune to the National Football League over the last couple of weeks of the regular season. Whereas before we had this basically built into our seasons, you know, teams were clinching 3-4 weeks before the end of the year, and, you know, teams were tanking for draft picks, and television ratings were down, and, you know, you had, blackouts because people weren't showing up for games. And this is the NFL. This is definitely done for a reason.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy. And I'm the only one who thinks this. It seems like all over the NFL, there's a little bit of mixed up as far as playoff implications, where teams lost, the Eagles lost, Cowboys lost,
yeah,
like all these teams that, you know, they got the ball, they're just dropping the ball. they're dropping the ball. New England dropping the ball. You're supposed to beat Miami, and if there's any team we're supposed to beat, it's got to be Miami. I mean, you could clinch the AFC East, and we drop the ball again. And I feel like I'm like you. I don't have any confidence for this week's game coming up. I don't. I don't think we're going to be in it, but ultimately Joe Flacco is going to throw all over this defense, and we're not going to know what to do to prepare for it. It's a diminishing talent, just like you said.
All right. All right, well, you know what, though? Here's the bright spot in all of this. Andrew, you're invited to the Patriots.com radio Christmas party. So what's your favorite drink that you're bringing?
I don't have pretty much a favorite drink, but if I had to pick one, it'd be soda. Ginger ale.
Okay.
Ginger ale.
All right. And how about a snack?
I like any kinds of potato chips. It doesn't matter what.
Potato chips. That's a good call. Good call. I like the salt and vinegar kind myself. And then as far as the music CD, what are we going to be listening to?
I don't have a favorite, really. I like listening to all kinds of music, Christmas music.
So we're going to get the standard, Michael Bublé fare from you?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Very good. You're a straightforward kind of guy, Andrew. I appreciate that. Let's get to Adam in Florida. Adam, thanks for hanging in there. You're up next in the playbook.
Hey, no problem. How you doing, John?
Good, Adam.
Good. I guess I'm gonna start off with the Christmas party. I'm gonna bring Left Hand Milk Stout. Off of Milk Sugar. It's made by Left Hand Brewing Company. It's really good if you never tried it.
No, I haven't. I'm intrigued. All right, make sure you bring enough for everybody.
Oh, man, that's going to be expensive, too. Let's see, I'm going to bring some crab dip.
Nice.
And I think, you know, my instinct is to play a little bit of old-school Metallica, but if that's a little heavy for people, I can back it off a little bit and go with some Jimi Hendrix or Led Zeppelin.
Yeah! All right, Hendrix and Zeppelin, nice. Oh, that's going to be a party.
I'm not really much for the Christmas music, so hopefully that'll do.
Oh, but I'm in.
Ooh, gonna make you sweat, gonna make you groove.
I like that. Fred Zeppelin.
That was Fred Zeppelin.
Fred Zeppelin, nice.
I like that, Fred.
That's awesome. That's awesome. All right, Adam. Well, you're definitely invited to the party. I appreciate that. What about your nitpicks for this week? I assume you have one or several.
Yeah. I hate to follow up with what a lot of people said, but I feel like something that's been an ongoing theme all year is Brady hasn't seemed like himself, but I think a lot of that, or at least half of it, you can pin on the inconsistency across the O-line. I feel like that's been their problem for most of the season, and especially Sunday. I think it was that last series when they were driving down to score to go ahead. I think Brady was on his ass maybe three out of the four plays that they had down there, the last final four plays, they were in his face.
Mm-hmm.
I know in just they dealt with. It's just too many injuries, I feel like, at this point. I'm not really sure how I feel about the rest of the season going forward. There's only two games left here. But to steal a quote from my favorite football movie, The Program, they had a chance to put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner with this. And, they couldn't pull through.
That's a good line.
I called the post-game show, and I said, hey, I to be honest, I really didn't I thought they were going to lose that game. I thought it was going to be close, but I just thought it was going to be too much to overcome. And
it doesn't get much closer than throwing a pick on the end zone in the last play of the game.
No, it doesn't yet. I mean, to their credit, they stayed in it, but, it was a couple of gaffes that really cost them. Everything just adds up. It wasn't just the missed field goal. It wasn't just the kick out of bounds. The third and long, I've been thinking about that play for a long time. When they had, I think it was third and 17. And they get 12 on third down, and then go to fourth down, and that's when they make that fourth and five. And I felt like even on the fourth down on that play, it was a missed tackle that cost them. I feel like they had them right there at the line of scrimmage. It's hard to have confidence, but again, looking at it from the flip side, nobody really, who really scares you out there? I guess any team is capable of beating the Patriots at this point, but I also feel like maybe they're capable of handling any of the teams that come their way also. I just don't feel like anybody, especially the AFC, I think you know what you got in the NFC for the most part, but in the AFC, I don't feel like anybody's pulling away. Denver,
no, nobody's pulling away, and I think that's probably as good a reason to pull me out of the tree from my doom and gloom thoughts as well, because nobody's really dominant. I think the Patriots will certainly have an opportunity not only to win this week, but to wrap it up, against Buffalo as well. I'm not saying that they will miss the playoffs, but they could miss the playoffs if they continue, down this path. So I think that people need to be aware of that. But here's the thing. Do you have enough ability? Do you have enough playmakers in order to be able to finish on the top side of the score? Baltimore plays very well at home. I think we know that. They're also playing much better now than they did early in the year when they were struggling, and it seems like they're getting back into that, defending the championship type of mode, which they need to play. Now, granted, they might not have won last night's game without Detroit being as hideous as they were in some of their decision-making, especially by Matthew Stafford at quarterback last night, if you watched any of that. But I would tell you that they still got, six field goals, so, the offense really isn't all that, but that Justin Tucker is the man. He's the man right now. That guy is easily the Pro Bowl kicker in the AFC, and there's nobody else even close. And that includes our own Steven Gostkowski, who's had a very good year, the last game notwithstanding. Tucker is just money. He's hit like 33 in a row now. So, he's three away, I think, from the record or tying the record. So, if he gets into a close game, a kicking game, I'm going to favor Baltimore, especially having the home field and knowing that the Patriots have just enough to be able to play teams close. I don't feel good about them getting over the hump this week. That's why I'm having the problems that I'm having today, knowing that it's going to come down to Buffalo when you should be resting guys, because of the injury problems you've had all year, but you're going to need to win against Buffalo just to squeak into the dance.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, it's amazing. I think I was watching NFL Insiders yesterday, and we dropped from, points per game with Gronk to 32. We actually, when he came back, I think everybody knows we led the league. And sure enough, after he leaves, I think before he came back, and then now since he's gone, with that one game with Miami included, 20 points, 20.8. And sure enough, what did they score on Sunday? 20 points.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that 20 points is not really going to beat anybody in the playoffs.
No, I don't think 20 is going to be enough to beat Baltimore, on Sunday, even though Baltimore doesn't score a lot themselves. True. I just don't think, because Baltimore is going to be playing against the Patriots defense, I don't think 20 is enough. I think you're going to have the Patriots to feel relatively comfortable about their chances to win have got to hit 28-30. That's just, I think that's a bench watermark. As it turns out, they needed 27, to beat Miami, and they didn't get it. So, you're going to have to be, 27-28 just to be in the hunt. At least that's kind of what I think. Adam, thank you for the phone call. Let's get to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hello, Eldridge.
Hey, John, how y'all doing?
I'm good, buddy. How's it going?
Not good. Nitpick everything.
All right.
Everything.
Well, pick your best one.
My best one?
Yeah.
Secondary, receivers, and defensive line.
Wait a second. Did he say secondary or secondary?
Secondary. Well, they stuff too, but secondary.
Love you, Eldridge.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I mean, that guy from Miami. Bill Belichick got him off of a San Francisco practice squad, and they didn't want him to go.
Yeah.
Played days, and then again, he had no speed on our side to see how good he is. But what he did do, it was what our secondary can't do. That's coming as receiver, just kind of slow, or got a little medium speed, and not balls out of him. Our guys can't do that. And I wondered, if somebody else can do that, Bill's going to be the genius of defense, why can't he go see some new stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's why.
Okay.
That really kills. And I was listening to Terrell Davis yesterday morning, so I took off going to Kentucky again. And he was saying, they was asking, do Brady have enough weapons to win a Super Bowl? Terrell says no. They said the last two plays that he threw to his own receivers, 5'10 and 5'11. And he can't only throw it so high, he can't go get it. He said, now, Edelman should have caught that pass, and so should Alvin Tola if he can run it. instead of trying to jump. You know, but still, you know, you ain't got Dobson and you ain't got Thompson and you ain't got Grunk Man. No. No. And I agree with him 100%. 100%. You can't throw the 5'10 and 5'11 and expect them to go up there and jump there like it's a basketball free throw and that's it. You know, go for the goal. So, I'm already packing in for next year. And when I'm going to bring to the Christmas party, is Bill Belichick during a scouting report that he should have followed instead of going through his mind with Rutgers, Marshall, and all those colleges that can't win a bowl game.
Okay.
Bring with.
Okay. All right. Well, maybe he'll have a chance to read it. What about your, you have to give me though what everybody else give me. I need to know what the beverage is.
Well, all that I drink is Hennessy and Coke.
Okay. Hennessy and Coke. All right. That's a good start. How about a snack?
Snack. I like salsa with chips and the sauce. I like that.
All right. I think you're definitely on the invitation list, Eldridge. And the music?
Music. I like the first guy. I like all kind of pieces of music. So.
Okay. All right. Eldridge, it wouldn't be a party without you, brother.
All right. Thank you. You have a good one, Joe.
Thank you. Melvin in Tennessee. Melvin, thanks for hanging in. You're in the playbook.
Hey, what's going on, John?
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good.
All right. So talk to me.
Start off with the party, since I'm going to start. I'm real simple, to be honest. If I can do my traditional, you know, what I eat when I watch sports, which is, you know, beer and wings.
Yep, yep.
I'll do just enough of me.
I think that would
be real simple.
Cold beer and some hot wings. I like it.
Cold beer and hot wings. And if you get enough, you know, being a system, I listen to anything, so I could care less about the music by that time.
Because you're the one that's actually watching the game. I know. I get it.
Yeah, exactly. So, man, the nitpicks about the game, I know it was funny because as I was watching, I was thinking about even just our conversation last week. I thought that, remember when we were talking about being able, you know, just to, who's going to hold who in the red zone?
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. And it looks like Miami was able to do that. And I thought we were going to be able to do it, which makes sense. And I think about it, I was like, well, I thought we were going to run the ball some more. I thought we were going to get in with some, you know, pounding out with the run. And maybe, I don't know, maybe a couple of pick routes and something here. We can maybe catch a slant with the Scott. Since the Elder just said, we don't have those fever just to get up and go get the ball. So I thought we were going to be able to find a way just to, you know, convert in the red zone. And that was the difference in the game, realistically. We were getting down there, you know, doing field goals, and, you know, Miami scored the touchdown. So, you know, I'm just concerned, I'm still concerned that we were going to be able to kind of just do what we, and I thought somewhat, I was kind of surprised the offense did that well. I mean, because maybe I just still had that sucky first Jets game in my mind, but
yeah.
I thought that, you know, 20, and they did well, it just wasn't good enough. I was like, what we did, they did. They put up a pretty good fight. It was just the 20 points. And what we talked about, we're not, 20 points is still not going to be able to cut it.
Right.
This defense playing what it's playing and offense putting up that good of a fight, but still coming, you know, still coming up short. So, I don't know about cashing it in for the season. I can't really say, but I know I really can't say that depending on the matchup, whoever they're going against, I still think they could beat some of the teams just because some of the teams in the AFC don't scare me that bad if they were going to come up and play a home game in New England.
Mm-hmm.
But depending on this, have the seeding and how things are going to go, then that could scare me because I think if you slip down to a three spot, you know, and you play maybe one home game and they have to go on the road, if they go on the road somewhere, that's when the level kind of, you know, raises up. I don't think.
Well, all you have to do, all you have to do is look at the record. I mean, these guys are 7-0 at home and they're 3-4 on the road.
Right.
So it's a completely different team at home than it is on the road. And, of course, we know that a couple of those home wins were by the skin of their teeth as well. But, you know, the fact of the matter is that this team just isn't stacked enough to be able to overcome good teams on the road, which is what they're going to face again this Sunday. They are going to have to play as perfect a game as this team is capable of playing to beat Baltimore. I forget, you know, what would happen if they had to go on the road to play Denver. Baltimore is the team that they need to be concerned with right at this moment, because Baltimore right now is sitting between them and a hat and t-shirt day. You know what I'm saying? AFC East Championship. And if they don't win that, then they're going to have to go in. They're going to have to come back home where they're 7-0, and they're going to have to expend their energy and what talent they have left, and they have to expend it on a Buffalo team that has absolutely zero to play for, when they could potentially be allowing other guys to play. And the guys that need a week off could be taking the week off. That's the thing that disappoints me the most, is that they can control their destiny, and yet they can't do anything about it.
Right. And unfortunately, you know, like, I can honestly say at the beginning of the season, it was, you know, all defense. Then when Gronkowski came back, I was relying on the offense. And now without him being there, I'm at a, which I think everybody is, where I'm at a real, I'm struggling to see the strength of this team. I know, and I feel like they're very limited with what they could do. Very limited. I thought that, I know you asked me last week, what can we do? Well, I think we can start running the ball. Even watching that game, I was like, well, we ran the ball, but just not like a team that I feel like could go into a season relying on running the ball. We had a lot of opportunities just to not break one open, or it just wasn't good enough. You just read out the stuff like that. If it was an average day, we had all our healthy players back, then I think like that's a good set, but with as limited, you know, plays that we have, the fact that we can't, you know, run effectively or run even more because we can't pass that much.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can't rely on the passing game as much as we have. So we're going to have to do something.
Well, there's no doubt about, I mean, you're speaking truth. There's no doubt about it. I just, you know, he threw 55 balls this week, apparently because he thought there was something that he could take advantage of. And to me, Brady didn't start off all that well. His throws were down at the feet of receivers. He was throwing behind guys again. We've talked about this, and I've nitpicked about it all season long. And it's just, you know, it's just not going to get any better this year. This is why I started out the show like this today. This is what we have. This is what we have to deal with. I don't think it's going to get any better over the last 2 weeks. Question is, can this team literally outscore? Can this team outscore the opposition to get where they need to be? And right now, I'd have to say that's highly unlikely.
Right. We're going to have to get our rookie receivers back if they're going to be. We're going to be trying to outscore people. And one more thing, the main nitpick was just a. Questionable. I know Gaskowski, you know, love you to death. He's been able to perform, but with this defense we got, brother, you cannot afford to kick the ball out and give them an extra 20 yards.
Yeah, that's...
That extra 20 yards is going to kill us.
Well, it did. It hurt. It did. I mean, right. It's hard to put the blame of the defeat at his feet, so to speak, but that was as big a reason as any why they lost the game, because of the extra field position you gave Miami.
Right, because I mean, it's, you're one play away, knowing that we can give up a 20-yard play at a drop of a dime. You're 120, you know, you're right there in scoring range almost already. Five, 10 more yards, maybe you get, you know, you're already ready to score.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just one more thing I'm going to ask you about. Who do you think will be better in, I mean, who's better in, you know, pass coverage between Spikes and Hightower? Because I'm not going to get on too bad yet, but
well, I think that's you're asking me to choose, you know, which poison I want to die by.
Exactly.
I would tell you that if I had to choose one or the other, I'd probably still go with Hightower, because I think he can stay with some running backs. I don't see anything from Brandon Spikes. See, I feel about Brandon Spikes like Eric feels about Hightower. You know, Eric's and you probably, if for those that aren't familiar, Eric thinks Dante Hightower is a bust, pretty much. And even though this is just the tail end of his second year in the pros, I'm willing to give him another, you know, year, or at least off season, and see what he comes back with next year before I completely say, all right, Hightower was a waste. But I'm already there on Brandon Spikes. I don't see it from Brandon Spikes. I think he has moments where he can defend and can be tough against the run. I don't see that he has very many coverage skills at all. So if I had to choose between one or the other right now, I'd go with Hightower.
Right. Okay. Because I can go ahead. I don't have any faith with linebackers covering, and I can guarantee you Flacco, I mean, he can throw those tight ends all day with those linebackers. He's going to, I think they always are going to get in the rhythm, and if they feel like they're, you know, things are getting tight, the Baltimore Ravens will throw at you. That's how they beat you the two times last year. They will throw at you. They will challenge you vertically. So our receivers, the thing we're going to have to do is get some pressure. Those four people up front are going to have to get up there and get in Flacco's face, because I think if we can't do that, and I think they have proven that I think they've come in here and, you know, that they're not afraid to throw the ball at New England.
Well, there's no question not about that. And the thing that worries me the most now, and Melvin, I thank you for the phone call. The thing that worries me the most now is that last night you had a formidable front four that Detroit had, and you had an offensive line from Baltimore that certainly has had its share of problems here. Hey, they remember they got rid of Brian McKinney. They brought in some other guys. Michael Orr has not really had a good year. And I thought that they kept Flacco pretty clean last night overall, with the one exception of him, you know, tweaking his knee on the one pass rush play late in the game. But I thought the offensive line did a pretty good job last night for Baltimore overall, especially in light of the fact they're going up against Detroit's defensive line, which may be the best part of that entire football team. So if Baltimore is able to keep Detroit's front four away, what are they going to do with the Patriot front four? I don't like it. Doesn't leave me feeling too good right now about this matchup overall. All right, so there you go. Webradio at Patriots.com. Got some emails and some Facebook and some tweets to get to. Webradio at Patriots.com, the email address. 855-PATS-500, the phone line. Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. At JR Broadcaster on Twitter. John.Rook on Facebook. All right, a couple of things. In addition to your nitpicks, and we've shared a few of them here, we're having the Patriots.com radio Christmas party. What drink are you bringing? What food are you bringing? What music are you bringing? Most importantly, are you bringing yourself? That's what we need to know, all right? All right, Kev, let's get in a break here, and then we come back, and let's read what some of our listeners have to say in the playbook.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team. From Foxborough all the way to Miami, Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets. With free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center,
located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Hey guys, I never really got football, but ever since my parents switched to Verizon Fios, I'm a total expert. Fios internet is super fast, so I can stream football movies, download highlights.
Hey, sweetie, I need help with my fantasy lineup.
Dad, I'm doing my video blog.
Sorry.
Anyway, with Fios, the TV picture is crystal clear, so not now. Listen, Fios is 100% fiber optic, so everything's faster than ever, which leaves me time to do other things, like hanging that do not disturb sign on my door.
Upgrade your game this holiday season. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month guaranteed for the first year, plus a $300 holiday bonus with a two-year agreement. Visit gottogetfios.com today for America's fastest, most reliable internet. Technology that lets you rise to greatness. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by Metabank, member FDIC. Fios available in select areas. Limited time offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a two-year agreement and ends 1/18/14. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply.
The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at patriotsproshop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store.
M-U-ra-ra, ring out ahoy with an M-U-ra-ra for Old Market. Ring out ahoy with an M-U-ra-ra, ring out ahoy with an M-U-ra-ra for Old Market. Oh, go, go, Marquette, go. Go.
This is where your go, hard-earned money's
Marquette.
Going.
Go. Ring out ahoy with an M-U-ra-ra, M-U-ra-ra, M-U-ra-ra.
Ring out ahoy with
an M-U-ra-ra, M-U-ra-ra for Old Marquette.
Wow.
Yes. Just...
You're right, Kevin. My hard-earned money is just going to pay for that.
Thank you for stepping out and doing that.
That did take some guts, by the way. That's a good job by you.
I told you,
oh,
I knew
my
it.
Goodness.
I told you.
Yeah, but how many words are in that fine song? Seven?
Pretty much. it's
boss,
a simple one.
You're a loser.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. That was impressive, though.
It's,
at least
it
you
sure
know
is
that.
An easy fight song to learn, though.
Mm-hmm. Go! Love it. All right. Welcome back to the playbook. We got some emails and things that we need to get to here. Oh, rookie, that was
priceless.
That was not good.
Wow.
Tim in San Francisco says, John, as good as he's been all year. By the way, coming up, I should mention here in a couple of moments, in about 15 minutes, we're going to hear from Bill Belichick. His conference call with not only members of the Patriots media, but also with Baltimore media was just a little bit earlier this afternoon, so we're going to let you get in on some of that coming up in 15 minutes. Tim in San Francisco says, John, as good as he's been all year, Gostkowski had a poor game. If he didn't miss the field goal, we would have been down one at the end of the game, and another field goal would have won it. And the kickoff out of bounds hurt, but reminded me of our second Super Bowl win against Carolina when they did that at the end of the fourth quarter, setting up Vinatieri's game-winning field goal. You're absolutely correct. Off the field, I'd like to nitpick about how nobody really knows the Patriots kicker's name. I feel like half the media calls him Gustowski, and the other half say it phonetically, Gustkowski. Is there a silent K or not? Al Michaels and Scott Zolak don't pronounce the K, but others do. I hear both ways all the time. Why can't somebody figure it out? Ask Steve. Go from there. It's Gostkowski. There is no K. It's silent. Come to the man. I'll tell you. Gostkowski.
I hear sometimes where they don't pronounce the T. It's Gostkowski.
No, it's not Gostkowski either.
Yeah, I heard
that. And it's not Gostkowski. It's Gostkowski. That's it. So there you go. Oh, and Tim gives us a hook 'em horns. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate that. G4 driver in Georgia. John, I think the only reason I'm not as concerned as you are about the Pats making the playoffs is the competition. Every team has warts. Look what Cincy did last week. They had a chance to move into the number two spot Sunday, but instead got their assets handed to them by Pittsburgh. The Broncos? San Diego made the Denver D look as porous as a sponge. Flacco? Nah. So come down off the ledge, John. The sky is not falling. Merry Christmas. I hope you're right, G4. I hope you're right. Fat Beaver. John, the nitpick would probably be the fact the defense has not been capable to force any turnovers. That's the mark of a solid defense. Ironically, the Pats last Sunday could not. John, no disrespect, but you've been pretty wrong in predicting Patriots wins losses. What? Where have you been, Fat Beaver? I'm 11-3 against the spread, you numbskull. Good Lord of mercy. 11-3 against the spread. What are you against the spread?
Idiot.
Good grief. Says you need to come back down to earth as a student of the game. Trust Josh McDaniels. Trust Tom. Blow him up. Just blow this guy up. Goodbye. Besides, I just want to hear the song. You dropped the bomb on me, baby. You dropped the bomb on me, baby. You dropped the bomb on me.
Are you bringing this to the Christmas party?
Yes, I'm bringing this to the Christmas party. Good one. Nice one. Nice one, rookie. Yeah. This should definitely be in the Christmas party. Should be somewhere in the mix.
The indisputable leader of the gang. He's most top cat.
Oh, that sucked. Amy says, Merry Christmas. The drink I'm bringing, copious amounts of Boston Lager and obviously spiked eggnog. Snack, loaded nachos with jalapenos. The CD, Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction. Oh, Amy, we need to party. DKD on email says, if they cannot beat Buffalo at home, they do not deserve to be in the playoffs. That certainly is accurate. If you can't beat Buffalo at home, yeah, you don't need to be there. You probably should just put your tail between your legs and go to the offseason quietly. Clay from Foster. John, you need to step away from the ledge, man. How about this scenario? We went out. Denver loses one game. Guess who's the number one seed now? Yup. The doom and gloom Pats. I'm running with that. I have a lot of nitpicks, but number one has to be our vanilla defense. I have absolutely no confidence that they can stop anybody when they absolutely have to. Very disturbing when Bill is supposed to be the defensive guru. We can't stop a leaky faucet. I'm afraid that even if we make the party, we're not wearing the party hats at the end. This is Clay and Foster. You know, good points, Clay. I would tell you that the vanilla defense is only because that's all they have is vanilla. There's no chocolate. There's no strawberry. We're out of caramel. Certainly no coffee. Okay? Coffee ice cream is the best at this time of year. It really is very good. I might have to bring a little coffee ice cream to the Christmas party. But they're not able to stop anybody because they're also not forcing turnovers. Our last emailer also suggested that as well. You know, good defenses do find a way to to stop people. And if you can't stop someone on downs or, you know, turn them over on a three and out, then you got to turn them over by taking the ball from them. And that's one thing that has disappeared from this Patriots defense over the last few weeks. Turnovers. And if you're not turning the other team over and you're giving it up yourself, as also has been the case, the results are predictable. And that's, to me, you know what? Creating turnovers can mask a lot of ills, and I really believe that's the case with this defense. This defense, we'd all be saying, how are they doing it? If they picked off a couple of passes a game, or they forced a fumble, or they got something in the kicking game, knocked the ball loose on special teams. Let's say they pick up two, maybe three turnovers a game. That's two or three times fewer that the opposing offense has a chance to score. So automatically, you're giving the defense for credit, whether they earned it or not, you're giving them credit for keeping the other team out of the end zone, or away from the red zone, or knocking a field goal. It always ends up coming back to the defense. Now, if they somehow figure out a way to turn Baltimore over three or four times this week, I'm liking our chances. And I said that a few weeks ago, Fat Beaver, or whoever you are, because, you know, the fact remains is that, you know, a few weeks ago, when this team was turning teams over on defense, they were succeeding. Now that they're not turning the other teams over, they're not succeeding as much. I think there's a direct correlation in there somewhere. Vaishon says, after the Monday Night Football game, I think the Pats can beat the Bengals. What are your thoughts? Well, if they get to them, if they get to them in the playoffs, and quite frankly, it'd be difficult. I think it'd be a difficult reach. Let's just say, for practical purpose, let's just say that the Patriots finish up as the 2 seed and get the bye. Well, then as the 2 seed, you're going to probably end up playing, let's see, the 6 would play the 3, the 4 plays the 5. I'm going to guess that you might not see Cincinnati at all of the playoffs if you're the 2. I think if you're the 3, you might. But if you're the 2, I'm not sure you're going to see them. Could they beat the Bengals if they had to play them somewhere on down the line? Yeah, I absolutely think they could, especially if the game is here. You know, they only lost to them 13-6 there earlier this year. It was a game that we all felt like, you know, the Patriots left a lot out on the field that day. You know, yes, I think Cincinnati played outstanding defense that day, but, you know, Geno Atkins is out, and they've got a couple of other missing pieces of the puzzle as well from the secondary. So they're not near, as I think we saw this weekend, they're not near the dominant defense that they were earlier in the year as well, just like the Patriots are not. And they're also, you know, while they were playing better offensively up until this last week, they've had their troubles on offense. So, yeah, sure, I like the Patriots if they had to face the Bengals, but getting there is going to be the problem, I think. This one comes from Mev D. This coach bashing on this show is really negative and a bit of a bummer. It's great being a Pats fan in this era. It is what it is. Jets suck. Go Pats. Okay. Coach bashing on this show is really negative and a bit of a bummer. Somebody doesn't understand the premise behind Nitpick Tuesday, I don't think. Marvin says, John, as I was studying my nitpicks for this week, of course, my thoughts turned to our sucky, sucky defense. And I tried to find where to lay the bulk of the blame. Then I look at how we end up with this. Can't get the QB pass rush, the step too slow linebackers, can't cover DBs, and you realize that Bill Belichick was responsible for this mess. I know we've been hit really hard with injuries, but I looked at our past drafts going to 03. We have drafted 37 players, 22 at defensive back, 15 at linebacker. Of that group, 4 were drafted just last year. So I don't know how they will pan out, but 33 drafted in the last 10 years, and only 6 are still on the team. Spikes, Hightower, McCourty, Wilson, Ebner, Dennard. And Ebner was not a draft pick. That's it. And by my take,
Ebner
only
was a draft pick in the 6th round.
Was he a 6th round pick?
Yeah.
See? All right. There you go. Correction by the rookie. And by my take, only 3 of those drafted are now on other teams. That's true. That's a whole lot of swings and whiffs. I know some are late round picks and are not ever expected to make the squad. But when you, as yourself, how did we get here by drafting strategies has much to do with anything else. We just don't do a good enough job of evaluating talent. That's why we have Quincy Cole on the field covering Mike Wallace. Great show as always. As for the party, I'm bringing Canadian Club, Triscuits and cheese, and I'm an old school R&B guy, so I would go with Teddy Pendergrass. Thank you, Marvin.
Who the hell's Quincy Cole?
Does he mean Marquise Cole?
I think he
Cole?
Means Marquise Cole.
Trying to call him Kesey, I think yeah. they call him every Kesey, once in a while.
Yeah, I think that's what he's doing, yeah.
Just stood out to me.
Quincy.
Like, who the hell's yeah. Quincy Cole?
Looks like,
I had to think about
well,
it.
I just said Quincy, but I think that's what you're saying is Quincy, because that's what they call him. They call him Marquise. Well, his name is Marquise, not Marquise. It's Marquise. Another
correct,
pronunciation
as
issue.
As a PA guy, you are correct.
Yes. So they call him Kesey. Yes, that's true. Thank you, Marvin. I like your choice of Canadian Club and Triscuits and cheese. This one comes from Michael. It says, I didn't get to see the game, so why wasn't Shane Vereen in a larger role on Sunday? Well, you know what? Aha! Great question, but that would have to be another nitpick. You know, I'm not sure that you saw it or not, but whatever happened to the possibility of getting both Vereen and Ridley on the field at the same time? They're only probably, with Gronk being out, the two most dynamic offensive players that you have. Ridley, however, played just 13 of 81 offensive snaps on Sunday. I'm not sure about that one. And Vereen, I believe, played fewer. So I don't really have any explanation for it. Just don't know that I have any explanation for it. Why wasn't he in a larger role on Sunday? Could you say that Miami took him out of the game? I would say that in a sense they might have. I'd say that they were probably ready and waiting on him. I think they did have somebody shadowing him when he was in there, and I think the Patriots did pick up on that relatively early. So part of that was is to, you know, sort of re-game plan against the Dolphins defense. When Vereen is in there, there's somebody waiting on him. So let's go a different direction and see if that opens itself up later in the game, and it really never did. But anytime you're coming off of a 12-catch performance and a guy that you know you're going to have to go to because you don't have Gronk anymore to rely on, well, the other team accurately predicted that that might be the case, and so that's what they decided to game plan against. And that's basically, I think, that's what happened to Shane Vereen in a nutshell. Let me get a couple of Facebook posts in here. Chris says, John, I'm really disappointed in the outcome of last week. Seems that we weren't able to capitalize on the fact we were playing for the number one seed with all the implications that come with it. My biggest nitpick is that our DBs don't know how to tackle. Rookie said that one earlier. When we had the Dolphins in fourth and five, we allowed them to remain in control of the ball. We're always open in midfield, which to me screams out our safeties are out of position. Hightower is a poor excuse for a cover man. Chasing down Thigpen for the touchdown was horrendous. There's no doubt about that. You know, I think Dante Hightower, let me say this again about Hightower. He really shouldn't be put in that position. He's more of an inside guy. I know that inside guys do have to cover from time to time. I like his chances better with backs than I do against receivers. I just don't think that his role and what the Patriots need from him are one and the same. I hope that changes. I don't know that it will. Jason says, why the Patriots are always in it. Word as to why the Patriots are not or are always in it. He says, Tom Brady, he is not only one of the best of all time, but he finds ways to win. I also think this team plays with heart and that it's my biggest factor on Super Bowl winners. 2001, I saw that same heart. I'd like to see the same results, Jason. Daryl says, last week I wanted this team to go run heavy, and what did McDipwad do? Had Brady thrown 55 times, a career high if I'm not mistaken. Ridley and Blunt were beasts up the middle all afternoon. Vereen hardly got a look. I've been disappointed with Josh ever since he came back. I miss Bill O'Brien. Hell, I think some Madden players could call a better red zone game. And I'm not being harsh just because this was a loss. I've had questions and gripes darn near every game he's been back for. I know we miss Gronk, but we can adjust. We have to. We need to utilize the talent we have on the field, period. Adapt the system to fit the players. Overcome whatever preconceptions we have had for this offense. I don't care if we run 40-plus times a game. If that's what works, eat the clock, get the points, get some turnovers. That's how we're going to have to win. That's well said, Daryl. Problem is we're not getting those turnovers that you're wishing for. And they do have to go after and get those. That's very true. Several other people are asked, why did they stop running the football? And some good answers have come back to that because that's what McDaniels has done historically. He throws the football. He kind of eschews the run whenever you think you should be running. You know, someone complaining here on third and two, cutesy passes that are annoying. Red zone offense, that's annoying. That's a nitpick. I agree with all of the above. Totally agree with all of the above. I just don't know that it's going to change anytime soon. Sean finally says here, I'll give you the last word, Sean. Sean, try as I might, I can't disagree with your thoughts on the Patriots team. My nitpicks for Sunday are on the offense, four trips to the red zone, getting only one touchdown. That's inexcusable. For that, I blame the play calling from McDaniel. See, I'm not the only one, you know, hammering on the coaches here for those emailers who are complaining. Also, my other nitpick is Gostkowski, kicking the ball out of bounds, giving the Dolphins free extra yards. As far as the Baltimore game, while I know anything can happen, I don't feel confident about it since Baltimore seems to be playing better than they were earlier in the year. I think the Patriots will get to the playoffs. It's just going to be a turbulent ride getting there. Now, as far as the radio party, if I were going, chips and a 12-pack of Sam Adams. Thank you, Sean, in Sacramento. All right. Thanks, folks, for playing the game. We'll ask Eric tomorrow what he would bring to the Patriots.com radio party.
I think we should keep it going all week.
You think so?
Yeah.
That'd be a good one. Well, yeah, because we aren't going to have any shows next week prior to Christmas.
Yeah.
We're only going to have one show next week, and that's going to be after Christmas.
We should keep
Christmas.
It going from now until Christmas. All right, until, all right
we'll
Christmas.
Do that. Matt says, hey, John, I see how it is. Don't invite the fat kid to the party.
Is that our beloved friend, Pepe?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good dude. Good dude overall.
He's
all right.
Funny because he's fat.
No. We don't hold that against anybody. All
he's
right.
He's just big boned.
Yeah, he's big boned. That's very true. Big boned. We will we'll continue that thought process tomorrow. Escal will join us. I know we'll jump into a little bit more on the Baltimore Ravens tomorrow as well. Rookie, nice to have you aboard for at least a little part of the ride today. Thank you for the corrections. Thank you for the Marquette fight song. My ears
You're
are
very
damaged.
Welcome.
My ears are now damaged.
What can I say? It's talent.
Thank you. I'm sure you'll have a part of that. All right, let's bring in now head coach Bill Belichick. It's his conference call with Patriots media, with Baltimore media earlier today here at Gillette Stadium.
This Ravens team is obviously playing very well. They're a good football team, strong in all three areas of the game. They have a good specialist, a good return game, good kicker, good punter. Really solid there, you know, defensively. I think they've really improved a little bit each week and, you know, played particularly well in the last few weeks. And offensively, it's an explosive quarterback, good running backs. Tight ends are good to this back. Receivers are big. They're good. So, solid football team that's playing really well. I spend most of the time watching their more recent games. You know, some backs early, but they look very impressive. It's a big challenge for us this week down there.
Good afternoon, Bill. After last night's game, where Justin Tucker was certainly impressive, it showed the value of a strong kicker. I'm curious what you've noticed from their style of play in terms of maybe how they play reflects the fact they have a kicker who's almost like a weapon for them.
Well, I mean, I think it extends their, you know, their range a little bit. I think they've always been, you know, a team that's wants the points and has a lot of confidence in their defense. They're not going to give up anything. So, you know, they kind of run the ball there at the end of the game to protect the field goal was, you know, something they've done in the past. They did that against us in the AFC Championship game a couple of years ago. Better on a trap up the walls, knocking out a field goal range, and they went for it on fourth down. So I think that's a style of play that they have, and strategy that they've used, you know, in the past quite a bit. If that's kind of what you're referring to there.
Yeah, I was also curious, just because I know how much you focus on situations, just what your thoughts were on that situation at the end of or toward the end of last night's game, within the final minute, where it looked like for a minute maybe they're going for it on fourth down, or maybe they weren't all along, and then he, you know, calls on the kicker just to kill some time. That's a long field goal. I mean, just I'm curious how you viewed that situation. And
well, I saw Coach Harbaugh's comments after the game. He said that, you know, when they got to the, whatever it was, 45-yard line,
yeah,
that you know, he talked to Tucker, and Tucker told him, on third down, they got a couple more yards, so 61, just get by 2 yards, and that was about it. You know, right around that range, so got to be two perfectly.
Piggybacking on Mike and staying on Justin Tucker, is there, when you've got a really good place kicker that you're going up against, is there anything you can do to minimize that player's impact? Or are you sort of at the mercy of distance and they're going to trot him out, and if he makes it, he makes it. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, once they get into range, I don't know if there's too much you can do. Just they put a ball in there, the bed of the air in it or something. Kick it from, you know, midfield. So, yeah, I mean, obviously you just got to be aware of, and we are every week, we always talk about field goal range for the kickers. You know, how that varies from player to player, and the conditions and also actually affect that. But I think that's just something that you generally have to be aware of, with, you know, what's your field goal range, what's their field goal range, then where's potential four down territory, so forth. So, they, you know, obviously a little bit extended this week, their kickers, but it's the same discussion every week. It's just identifying with the
Bill, based on Baltimore being an outdoor stadium, would you anticipate being outside this week?
I would.
I saw a note this morning, I think, that both teams, you and Baltimore, have played in a lot of close games. I think you're maybe 6-1 in games decided by 3 or 4 points or less, and I think they've played in 9 games. If there's a pattern of playing in close games, what maybe separates a team from winning their share of close games and not winning their share of close games? Are there similarities or traits that a team has to have to do well in close contests?
Make plays in critical situations. Make the team they need to make them. That's what this league is. You play for 57, 58, 59 minutes, and the game's still not decided, and it hinges on, you know, the plays from there on out. One play could be series, could be kick, a return, a fumble punt, a pass, a reception, a sack, a short yardage, your goal line play, a stop. I mean, it could be, you know, any one of a million situations. And being able to execute those plays in those critical situations determine the result of the game. So being able to do those things as a team, along with some other things, substitution, clock management, all those kind of things as well, but they're not a balance, staying in balance. They make a decision, but in the end, it comes down to execution. Those critical situations, absolutely a difference.
You guys are obviously familiar with each other, these two teams. They don't have big names like Ray Lewis and Ed Reed there anymore, but obviously the success has stayed the same for them. Do you see what do you see that stands out to you as maybe being different without those guys there?
Well, they've got, you know, quite a few new players on their team in the starting lineup. You know, some young players, some guys that they've you know, guys like ahead of both that, you know, stepped in for Pollard. She did some of that last year. Obviously, some new players on the offensive line. So, you know, I think over the course of the season, you can definitely see the improvement in the growth of their team, both individually with some of the younger players and collectively with the way they operate, the communication, the coordination, the overall execution. So, that's what I've noticed about the team. They needed to get better, and they've work new people in there, and then those people are now working together, functioning very well. And it, whatever it be, offense, defense, or special teams, they're playing good football.
Yeah, I'm just interested, you know, in Darryl Smith just being a guy that played on one team all throughout his career, and then makes this transition to a new team, and really, it looks to me like a much different scheme than he had played in. What have you noticed from him? in terms of making that transition to, you know, a new team, new scheme?
I think he's done a real good job. I think Darrell's, you can see on film, he definitely is a communicator on defense. You know, like Lewis was, but him making adjustments and checks, on moving the front over and getting them lined up and those kind of things. So it looks like he's got good command of what they're doing. And productive in the passing game, got his hands on several balls, got 3 or 4 interceptions, whatever it is. But, you know, he's around the ball in the passing game. An active guy that reads plays well. I think they're rope for us this season. So he's adapted, obviously, well. Gives that team from that position, which, I mean, the middle linebacker has to do that too. It looks like he gives them a good level of cohesiveness. Communication and working with the Boney and the safeties. Dustin's on the staff, same information, situations in the game and all that.
For so many years, Lewis and Reed were sort of the face of that franchise, and they really probably symbolized the defensive identity of their team. How would you kind of describe the team's identity now without those guys there? Is it still sort of defensive strong or first, or have they switched a bit?
You know, all the way around. Those guys were really good players. A few years ago, I would say, more recently, I would say last year, they both missed time. I don't think they were the best players. They were obviously good players. They had great leadership. That was certainly a personality that they could back on the team. So, their best players. A lot of their best players, but were still their best players. Sure. A lot of dogs. Those guys have been pretty good, and I think they still are pretty good. And they're a bunch of that deep yell last year, but the right guys started and played in those games, every game. Excellent. There's a lot of still are. And they have a lot of other people around, a lot of other good players. But then it still are making a lot of plays for them. But, you know, definitely the addition of a guy like Verville, that, place of the edge rushers that they've had there. Jared Johnson, here's Beth, Brent, good. Another good player to play opposite. So, I'm sure. That's been a good job working there too, but I'd say that we add Doomerville to that group that they've had. That
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
Pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.